a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
House Agricultural Committee will now come to order. The secretary will call the roll.
Representative Bartlett.
Here.
Mack.
Here.
Craig.
Here.
Piker.
Here.
Howe.
Here.
May.
Here.
Olson.
Here.
Otten.
Here.
Small.
Here.
Schaefer.
Here.
Schaefer.
Here.
Schaefer.
Here. Schaefer's here, too. Thank you. Quorum is present. Shrimp. Do I have a motion to approve the previous minutes?
Oh.
Moved by Kamek, seconded by Colm. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Approved. Thank you very much. We have with us this morning some new pages, and if you could please come up to the microphone and introduce yourselves. Tell us where you're from, anything interesting about you that we may want to know.
I'm Carissa Buckles. I'm from Pierce, South Dakota, and I plan to study medicine next year.
Thank you. Welcome.
I'm Zoe Pease. I'm from Centerville, and I'm homeschooled.
Okay. Thank you, Zoe. Glad to be here. If there's any handouts, anyone else wants anything delivered, or if someone else wants coffee, I think you guys got the roll. Just a couple of reminders. When you come up, please try to speak as close to the microphone as you can so that folks at home listening on the internet have an opportunity to hear what we're doing in their House of Agricultural Natural Resources Committee. Also, all cell phones, that's getting kind of redundant, but we'll have them all turned off or on vibrate. And I think we've got a number of bills this morning that should be pretty self-explanatory. I will be asking this board to defer House Bill 1057 when we get to it to appropriations, being that that's a pretty good amount of money, and we don't have the authority actually here to do that anyway. So we'll take a voice vote when we get to that. All right. Pardon me? It will be a roll call vote. That's right. With that, we have House Bill 1048. With us this morning, revise and repeal certain provisions related to the Department of Agriculture. Do we have proponent testimony? Oh, thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Good morning.
Courtney De La Rosa, South Dakota Department of Agriculture. House Bill 1048 is to repeal and react certain provisions related to the Department of Agriculture. This was part of the governor's Better Government Initiative. The department went through and identified 26 sections of law containing approximately 2,900 words that could be repealed, looked at. It's things that we do not use or never have used. To just give you some of the highlights, looking to get rid of the state potato inspector position.
That's almost funny.
It is.
Yes, yes. Also, we no longer regulate grades of butter. We have a couple statutes that federal patent law supersedes, so we do not use those, never have. And we do not have an office in the Capitol, so we just want to update that and make it easier to read for constituents and our producers. So with that, I would urge your support for House Bill 1048, and I will stand by for questions.
Thank you very much. Ms. De La Rosa, are there any other proponent testimony? Any other proponent testimony? If seeing none, any opponent testimony? Any opponent potato testimony? Seeing none, I'll open it up for questions and or action by the committee. Representative Olson. Is there a second on that motion? I'll Representative Kamek. Any comments on that motion? Thank you. With that, all in favor of the do pass motion on House Bill 1048 to revise and repeal certain provisions related to the Department of Agriculture. When the secretary calls your roll, please, all in favor, say aye. Opposed, nay. Secretary will now call the roll.
Representative Bartlett.
Aye.
Mack.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Piker.
Aye.
Dopp.
Aye.
May.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
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 Long.
Aye.
Chainfish.
Aye.
Shrimp.
Aye.
Schaefer.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye. That do pass motion passes unanimously and will go to the floor. Move consent by Representative Colm. We had a second over here by Representative Shrimp. All in favor of that do pass motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carried. Thank you very much. That will be on the House floor on consent. Would you, Representative Qualm, please take it to your committee, the Republican committee. Representative Shrimp, will you please explain this bill in your Democratic caucus? Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just want to make a quick comment.
Certainly.
The legislature, it's easy for us to make headlines, but very few headlines are made by the amount of legislation that we've been repealing, and I think it's a wonderful thing.
Thank you. I agree with you wholeheartedly. That was a very, very well-placed comment at this time. To go back, the only attorney I knew that spent his summers looking for statutes to delineate at the next session was Representative Rich Engel from Sioux Falls, and he came with dozens and dozens of statutes, and we repealed some and changed some, and so it's a good thing that we're doing this. This makes it simpler, and I think this is what the people want. They don't want a convoluted set of writings in their statutes that no one can understand. Thank you. We'll move on to House Bill 1049. To transfer the value-added agricultural subfund from the Governor's Office of Economic Development to the Department of Agriculture. Is there any proponent testimony for House Bill 1049? Mr. Ferris, good morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, John Ferris, Deputy Secretary, South Dakota Department of Agriculture. Thank you for the chance to visit with you today. House Bill 1049 is to move the value-added subfund that was originally brought in the late 1990s and placed at the Governor's Office of Economic Development. The original intent of the project was to put more money into value-added projects, and it had a fair run in the early 2000s and put a lot of money out into projects and helped in a lot of ways. As of late, the activity in the program has slowed down for a number of reasons, and currently the Governor's Office of Economic Development has determined there's low interest in this program as it's currently structured. And in order to increase the use of this program, we'd like to bring it over to the Department of Agriculture, go through a rules change, reevaluate what the intent of the program is and what the rules are doing to make sure that it will accomplish the intent of those that are interested in using it. Go through a rules change process, and after it's established in the Department of Agriculture. We feel that the Department of Agriculture, we have the staff and the capacity in our value-added finance authority to adequately handle this program, and with the members that we have on our value-added finance authority, we have the ability to review the projects. We have staff that are currently doing our loan programs that would be assigned this project. We wouldn't need to add any staff or anything of that nature. We would absorb the activities in-house and include it in our existing loan program. Currently, the value-added subfund receives $135,000 a year from the motor fuel tax collected for highway purposes. That's a set amount on an annual basis, so that would be the replenishment of the fund. There's currently about $915,000 of available funds in this to put out into projects, so that money would immediately come over and be available. There's $110,000 in loans that are being repaid, $450,000 that's out in projects that are currently being done, and around $200,000 that are in projects that appear to not be going forward or have failed, and then those would be turned into a grant. The way the program is structured now, if you want to do a value-added project and you want to use these funds, the Governor's Office of Economic Development will make you a loan to do a feasibility study or marketing study or whatever activity that you want to do with your project. If the project goes forward, the intent was to pay the funds back and then create a revolving fund. And it just has not achieved the capacity that it was originally intended to do. So a number of those projects over the years have been turned into grants after they have failed for one reason or another. As is often the case in a value-added project, the amount of money that it takes to get the project up and running, not all the projects go forward. So a lot of those projects will fail, and then it'll be turned into a grant. As I mentioned, we have the staff and the capacity in our value-added finance authority. I was involved when this was originally brought in the late 90s to bring this project forward to the legislature. We had a brand new value-added finance authority doing the beginning farmer bond program, And I think it was felt at the time that the capacity to handle this was better suited at the Ready Board at the Governor's Office of Economic Development. Since that time, our Value-Added Finances Authority has grown. We do a number of bond programs, three or four to be exact. We have a direct loan program out of that finance authority, and we've actually have a very, very qualified board to handle these activities. So with that, I'll stand by for questions as we go forward.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ferris. Any other proponent testimony for House Bill 1049?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Nathan Lucas. I'm the Deputy Commissioner of the Governor's Office of Economic Development. Mr. Ferris did a great job laying this out, so I'll keep my comments brief. House Bill 1049 is a good bill. We support it. The Department of Ag is the proper place for the value-added subfund today, and we urge your support for House Bill 1049. I'll stand by for questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Lucas. Any other proponent testimony on House Bill 1049? Seeing no other proponent, is there any opponent testimony to House Bill 1049? Any opponent testimony to House Bill 1049? Seeing none, I'll open it up for questions, of which I do have one, maybe two. Any questions from anyone? Representative Feikert.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Question for Assistant Secretary Ferris. Can you just kind of give us an idea how you get the message out that these loans are available? Do you work through the banks, or how can you get it spread out to more of the young producers? How do you do that?
Mr. Chairman? Sir. Representative Feikert, that's a great question. We have that same challenge with all of our loan programs, to make sure that the right people know about them. We do meet regularly with the banks. We meet with the different livestock associations or commodity groups. Our loan officers are out in the country as often as we can, and we do meet with individual banks. We've got a number of the banks that are more active users of the programs that we have, so they certainly hear on a regular basis what we have going on, but it's through press releases and direct communication and just shoe leather that we get the word out.
One follow-up question quickly. As far as like the tech schools or the ag classes in the high schools and that, is there communication with those folks as well?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Feikert, certainly with the tech schools and the university, SDSU primarily, where we have been over and talked to some of the programs over there. Probably not as well with the high schools. I think with, we do some with FFA, and that certainly gets the word out, but I think that's an opportunity for us to expand into more of the high schools. Yep.
All right, Mr. Ferris, thank you. Any other questions? I have one. When the money comes out of the Department of Agriculture, does it go into a fund created in a bank that the producer or the person who's starting the business would then pay back to the bank, or do they work out a payment scheme back to the Department of Agriculture? And the second part of that question is, what is the average interest rate charged on the money that's given out for a startup business? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, on this program, the fund, the loan is right directly with the way this has been structured. It's right directly with the Governor's Office of Economic Development. We would bring that over. It's my thought, and I think that this is the opportunity to talk to the people that are using the program, is do we leave it 100% of a loan program, or do we make it into more of a grant program? And that's where the rules change would come into play to determine how to best use this money and best put it into the market and where it would do the most good. So the loan would be directly with the department, and I believe, and I'm going to look back at Kim.
It's zero.
Yeah. It's a 0% loan, so it's just repaying the capital so that we can revolve that money.
Then if I get it right, let's just say someone in Hosmer wanted to start a tomato drying business, and they had 10 acres, but they had to have a fence to keep the raccoons and deer out, and they had to, and let's just say that their project that they thought to put in 500 tomato plants and an irrigation sub-irrigation system would cost $120,000. of that amount, what historically has usually come, what percent of a fund of the full amount of a project has been funded by this capital?
Mr. Chairman, that's a different project. That's a different situation. Now, if you wanted to do the feasibility study of whether you thought that potato drying project would work, that's what these funds would be used for. Once you've got that established and you know that you're confident that your potato raising and drying project is going to work, we have other loan programs that we would work with and do either a direct loan out of the Department of Agriculture, and I think GED's got a few similar things, you know, more on the ag stuff. We'd probably have the opportunity to do that loan with that producer. We would do either a guarantee or a direct loan, and our guarantee or participation with a bank, we could participate 50% up to $500,000. And right now, that money is going out of the Department of Ag at 3.5%. So, you know, we've got a number of different ways, and I think that's one of the things with the subfund that it's important to remember, is this wasn't so much about the money once the project was ready to go. It's to help get the project ready to go, to do that marketing and feasibility study to find out if that potato or tomato project, and I got confused with the potatoes from earlier, but if the tomato project in Hosmer was a good idea or not. Because, you know, as you well know, 80% of the small businesses that start today are going to fail within the first year. So it's important to make sure that you're putting your money in the right place. And that's what the subfund money was originally to help you do, to decide if that was a good idea or not.
Thank you. That answers all my questions. Any other questions for anyone? If not, I would consider committee action on House Bill 1049.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Unless there's some comments, I would move a due pass.
There's a due pass by Representative Kamak, second by Representative Feikert. Any comment on that motion, Representative Kamak?
I think it's a very wise move, because the expertise on the ag projects, that's why they're called ag department, but it's we've got all the folks over there that it's going to take to properly implement the program, and I think it's a very wise move, and it sounds like it's good cooperation between agencies.
Excellent. Thank you. With that, the Secretary will call the roll. Voting for, vote aye. Against, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representative Bartley.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Feikert.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
May.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Qualm.
Aye.
Shanefish.
Aye.
Shrimp.
Aye.
Schaefer.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there are 13 ayes.
Thank you. With that, we have a due pass. I'm moving to the floor with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 1049. Representative Kopp.
I knew that's why you were pausing. You wanted to move to consent.
Second.
I'll allow it this time, but you and I were both in judiciary when I got called out of order for prefacing a motion with comment. But we'll just once. Can't happen again, though. I'll take that as a motion to consent, seconded by Representative Olson. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
So moved to consent to the House floor, House Bill 1049. Representative Kopp, would you please take that to your caucus, and Representative Feikert to yours? Thank you very much. House Bill 1057, to make an appropriation for costs related to suppression of wildfires in the state and to declare an emergency. I would entertain a motion to defer this to the House Appropriations, for we can't take final action. We won't on a bill that is in large part dealing with nothing but transfer of money. Moved by Representative Schaefer to defer House Bill 1057 to Appropriations. Do I have a second? Seconded by Representative Olson. Any comment on that motion, sir?
Well, I think you explained it.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a roll call vote on this. It will be final action in this House of Committee. It will not be final action, of course. They will have to take this up over in Appropriations. With that, voting aye to move House Bill 1057 to the Appropriations, vote aye. Secretary will call the roll. Against, a nay, and voting for aye. Thank you.
Rep. Sam Bartley.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Feikert.
Aye.
Kopp.
Aye.
May.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Qualm.
Aye.
Shane Fish.
Aye.
Shrimp.
Aye.
Schaefer.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there were 13 ayes.
With that, this committee sends House Bill 1057 to Appropriations for further action. Thank you very much. Next bill on the list, House Bill 1059, to repeal and revise certain obsolete and unnecessary statutes and rules relating to the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. Any proponent testimony on House Bill 1059? Secretary Perner, welcome to our committee.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Steve Perner, Secretary of the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. We bring you this morning House Bill 1059. This is an agency bill. This is our what's come to be known as the repealer bill from DENR. The bill was put together by us in response to Governor Dugard's red tape review. The bill is 96 pages long, repeals 299 sections or portions thereof of statutes and rules. Some of the kind of a high-level overview of the bill, if you will, sections 1 through 15, which is about 5% of the bill, repeal obsolete air pollution control statutes found in SDCL 34A-1. Sections 33 through 41, which is about 3% of the bill, repeal statutes from the petroleum inspection and release compensation statutes that are found in SDCL 34A-13. The Petroleum Release Compensation Fund used to be in the Department of Revenue. Governor Dugard introduced an executive order in 2011 that transferred the Petroleum Release Compensation Fund from Revenue to DENR. Consequently, we went through their statutes. We found some of their stuff was duplicated in other portions of 34A, which we administer, and so those statutes can be repealed. Sections 42 through 98 is about 20% of the bill. It repeals the Petroleum Environmental Compliance Authority found in SDCL 34A-14 in its entirety. These statutes were passed by the legislature in 1988, 25 years ago. Basically, what they do is they authorize the Petroleum Lease Compensation Board to issue bonds to help finance petroleum storage tank upgrades. In the last 25 years, the statutes have never been used. And the biggest portion of the bill, over half, is sections 118 through 299, 60% of the bill, repeals the Sindak Irrigation District found in SDCL 46A-7A. And I say, what is the Sindak Irrigation District? Well, when the Congress passed the Pick-Sloan Flood Control Act of 1944, we were promised a lot of irrigation. The biggest irrigation project was the Owyhee Project, which was going to take water from Owyhee all the way through big canals to the Jim River. That project got in trouble with local opposition, and so a project was formulated to try to take its place called the Sindak Project. The legislature passed those statutes in 1985, 28 years ago, to establish the Sindak Project, but no work has really ever been done on it since. With a federal deficit, there's no interest in funding authorized irrigation projects by Congress that we can tell, so those statutes can be repealed. So, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, that's kind of a high-level overview of the bill. House Bill 1059 will help further streamline government. It'll eliminate unnecessary code and rules by repealing a total of 299 sections or portions thereof and 28,700 words. This is a good government bill that reduces the number of laws and rules on the books that are no longer used or needed. With that, we would urge your support of House Bill 1059. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Secretary Perner. Is there any other proponent testimony for House Bill 1059? Any other proponent testimony? Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony? Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll move on to committee questions of Secretary Perner.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I have a question.
Representative Otten, please.
Good morning, Mr. Secretary.
Morning.
My question comes on page 6, and it would be section 23, or actually section 22 is where it starts. I realize these sections are all pertaining to Federal Water Pollution Control Act, but starting on line 17, it deals with municipalities and other political subdivisions to create a separate agency as a waste treatment management agency. Is there something, some other statute with the Department of Environment and Natural Resources that would pertain to still allow those municipalities to be able to set up joint wastewater treatment facilities?
Mr. Chairman.
Sir.
Yes, sir. Basically, they could do that under the existing Joint Powers Acts statutes that are in code. So there is a backup to this particular statute. I think there's also a bill that's been introduced this year that's going to help Sioux Falls establish regional wastewater treatment and collection systems with the smaller communities around Sioux Falls. So you're going to see a bill, I think, that will enhance the one that we're repealing as well. So there's really two substitutes. There's the existing Joint Powers Act, and then if that bill that's coming through the legislature this year passes, there'll even be more mechanisms for regional wastewater treatment systems.
Okay. Follow up? Yeah. So if that bill does not make its way through this year, there still are provisions there for those municipalities to do that yet?
Mr. Chairman.
Secretary.
Yes, there are. I think the bill that you're looking at that's coming through the legislature deals more with how do they recover the capital cost, which I think right now some people think that's unclear under the Joint Powers Act. So that's why they brought that legislation. I can't remember the bill number. I'm sorry. But
follow up?
Nope, I'm good. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions for Secretary Perner? Seeing no more questions, committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1059. Representative Olson. It's been moved by Representative Olson and seconded by Representative Kopp. That do pass motion, House Bill 1059. Any comments on that motion?
Yes, I love repealers.
Thank you very much. I agree with you wholeheartedly. With that, Secretary, call the roll in favor of House Bill 1059. Move to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Vote aye. Against, nay. Secretary will call the roll. Thank you.
Representative Bartling.
Aye.
Kamak.
Aye.
Craig.
Aye.
Pikert.
Aye.
Kabob.
Aye.
May.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Otten.
Aye.
Qualm.
Aye.
Shanefish.
Aye.
Shrimp.
Aye.
Schaefer.
Aye.
Hoffman.
Aye.
Rest of the chair, there are 13 ayes.
With that, House Bill 1059, clear recommendation of a do pass recommendation to the House floor, and is certainly one that I think I would entertain a move consent by Representative Qualm, seconded by
Second.
Representative May. Any discussion on that? If not, everyone in favor of moving this bill to the House floor on the consent calendar, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Post same sign. Motion carried. Thank you very much. Representative May, would you please take this bill to your caucus to explain it? Thank you. And Representative Bartling, to yours. Thank you. All right. This is not going to be the way in future committee hearings that we're going to be looking at half an hour on four pieces of legislation, I promise you. But our last piece bill this morning, House Bill 1062, to repeal and reenact certain provisions regarding forestry and fire suppression, coming to us from, I believe, the Department of Agriculture, and any proponent testimony. Ms. De La Rosa, welcome once again.
Thank you, members of the committee, Mr. Chair. Again, as part of the Better Government Initiative, the Department of Ag went through our statutes looking for ways we could improve the efficiency of our statutes. And to give you a little bit of history, in 1984, the functions of the Resource Conservation and Forestry Division were transferred to the Department of Agriculture. However, the statutes were not. So at this point, we're looking to move those statutes into our agriculture section of the code. Another thing that goes along with this was in 2000, Governor Janklow separated resource conservation and forestry and wildland fire. However, what did not get done is for the Wildland Fire Division to have an enabling statute to become their own division. So we're just formalizing what we've already been practicing now for several years. The two forestry sections would be combined into one section, cleaning up existing statute, making it flow better, making it easier to understand. And the Wildland Fire Division duties and responsibilities would be removed from the forestry section and placed into its own section, making it easier to read and understand those laws related to those two separate divisions, and just putting them under the Department of Agriculture for ease of use. So again, just a cleanup bill, putting statutes where we feel they belong. So I would stand by for any questions and urge your support for House Bill 1062.
Thank you very much for that wonderful proponent testimony. Are there any other proponent testifiers this morning? Any other proponent testimony? Seeing none, is there any opponent testimony to House Bill 1062? Any opponent testimony? Seeing none, we'll close proponent and opponent testimony and open it up to committee questions. Any questions by the committee? Pretty self-explanatory bill. If none, I'll open it up to committee action. And or just,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Kamak. Do pass on 1062, seconded by Representative Schaefer. Any comments on that, either of you? No comments? Thank you very much. The secretary will call the roll. Those in favor of House Bill 1062, vote aye. Opposed, vote nay. Thank you.
Representative Bartling?
Aye.
Kamak?
Aye.
Craig?
Aye.
Eichert?
Aye.
Kopp?
Aye.
May?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Otten?
Aye.
Qualm?
Aye.
Shanefish?
Aye.
Shrimp?
Aye.
Schaefer?
Aye.
Hoffman?
Aye.
Mr. Chair, there are 13 ayes.
Unanimous. 13 ayes in favor of House Bill 1062 will be sent to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Move consent.
Was that Representative Qualm? Moved consent. Second? Second by Representative Schaefer. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. No defer. Thank you very much. House Bill 1062 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation on consent. And I would like Representative Qualm, if you could please take this to your committee, your caucus. And Representative Shrimp, would you take this to your caucus, sir? Thank you very much. With that, is there any other discussion? This committee, any comments, any discussion moving forward? If not, I'd like a motion to adjourn.
Oh, move.
Moved by Representative Fikert, seconded by Representative Olson. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you very much, House Bill. House committee's now closed.